To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. So come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Could we stand, please?
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. So come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see.
Praise the Lord, greet one another.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice.
Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Leave you, nor forsake you, and his word is true. God is good. Hallelujah. All the time.
All the time. Hear the song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
In the darkest night, His light will shine.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
Unworthy, still for us He chose to die.
He filled us with His Holy Spirit.
Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end.
God is good
all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
God is good
all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
He is good
all the time.
Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands.
And through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see
song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
God is good
all the time.
All the time.
Through the darkest night, His light will shine.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good. God is good
all the time. I will learn to walk in Your ways,
and step by step You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Hallelujah. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn to walk in Your ways.
And step by step You'll lead me,
and I will follow You all of my days.
One more time.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn to walk in Your ways.
And step by step You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is
King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Great, awesome God. Hallelujah. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Yes, I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. I will give. Be exalted, O God.
To our God forever and ever, be to our
our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our
standing for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. The text this morning is a question. A question from Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Father, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Is there children's church today? Okay. No children's church, so children, hang tight. Which of you, by thinking very hard about it, can add one cubit, even 1 foot, onto your height? Or if you tried really hard, could you make yourself shrink? Not grow tall, but grow shorter. God himself determines average sizes. What would the world be like if everybody could add or diminish to their height whenever they wanted to? How many of you wish you were taller? You know, some of the tall people got their hands up here. Anybody here wish you were shorter? Okay. A few of you like that as well. You know, if you could change your height whenever you wanted to, clothing manufacturers would go nuts. It's like us parents trying to keep our teenage boys in pants. So which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? All men understand this challenge. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree or disagree, someone bigger than yourself sets the rules. Someone bigger than yourself has determined the average size and height or lack of height of a human being. In some instances, God allows us to draw our own boundaries. In others, he gives the final word and he sets limitations. It's important for us to know what is variable, what things God would allow us to grow bigger in, and what things are fixed, what things God has said, I have set up a boundary, and you may not pass over that boundary. You cannot change that boundary. So the title of the message this morning is Fixed Variables. Fixed Variables. We want to consider what is a variable and what are some things that are fixed. First of all, we're going to look at three things that are fixed. Three things that you cannot change or you cannot add to. The first one is God's plan for redeeming and saving the soul. God has a plan for saving souls. God wants to save people. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's only one way that people can be saved, and that way will never change. Which of you, by taking thought, can discover a plan for redeeming and saving the soul? None of us can. Some river or baptismal tank or baptismal fountain does not cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Struggles to achieve moral perfection do not cancel the burden of guilt. If there is one thing that is sure in this world, it is this. It is certain that man cannot save himself. Salvation is God's prerogative. Salvation is a gift that comes from our Father above. The only emblem that points to salvation and a conscience void of offense and a soul at peace is the cross. If the cross doesn't do, nothing else will do. If the shed blood of Jesus Christ was not enough, there is nothing that will be enough. We are saved only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as he spilled it out for us on the cross of Calvary. Our lack of power to save ourselves is apparent. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And if we are not saved by works of righteousness but by God's mercy, we are not kept by works of righteousness, but we are kept by God's mercy. One thing is fixed. One thing is fixed. God's plan for redeeming and saving the soul is fixed. That will never change. Another thing that is fixed is God's divine providence and sovereignty in the direction of a life. God's sovereignty in the direction of a life. Which of you, by taking thought, can direct his own life? Proverbs 27:1 puts it this way: "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Did you ever think at the end of a day, thinking to yourself or maybe your spouse or somebody else, "You know, I never would have guessed that all of that would have happened today." We don't determine the outcome of our days. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know that you cannot contract with absolute assurance even 1 hour from now. You can't say explicitly what you will be doing in 1 hour from now. Things change. You don't have complete assurance of what the remainder of this day will hold for you. A stroke sets the doctor aside. Hail sets the farmer aside. Engine failure sets the pilot aside. Loss of voice sets the preacher aside. Fire or tornadoes set the merchant aside. We were reminded of this truth this week, were we not? How many of you saw the news about Siren? Some of you were there. Some of you saw it on television, or others heard the reports on the radio. We were reminded of the truth that man cannot direct his own life as that tornado ripped through Siren and the surrounding area. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I bet people who woke up, whatever day that was, what day was that?
Monday.
Monday. They had no idea that a tornado would rip through their town that day. They had no idea that their homes would be leveled and that for days they might go without pure drinking water. They had no idea of the events that that day would hold. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have to learn to trust in God's judgment and trust in the sovereignty and providence of God, his will for our lives. Because you know what? He knows our lives better than we do. He knows what's best for us. God's judgment is better than our judgment. God knows best. If it had been better that man were to be born to an average height and live to an average height of 15 feet, I think God would have made us all 15 feet tall. But we have to believe that the standard of measurement that he has set up for us is the best. The present scale is the best scale. And if I can trust him about this, a thing like height, I have to learn to trust him with this, because if I can't trust him with something so insignificant as that, I cannot trust him with the rest of my life. Trust saves. Self-confidence destroys. There are some things in life that are unchangeables. There are some things in your life that you cannot do anything about, but God has, in his divine providence and will, put those things into your life. Those are variables that cannot be changed. And you need to accept them as God's design for your life. Trust Him with these, and you will be able to trust Him with other things. You will see that God is reaching toward you. He is brought nigh by love. In his autobiography, Dr. A.J. Cronin tells of a neighboring family called the Adamses. Mr. Adams was an accountant in New York City, but he loved to spend all the hours he could working in his garden at their Connecticut home with his only son, Sammy. When World War II broke out, Mrs. Adams suggested they take a refugee child into their home. Mr. Adams wasn't much in favor of the idea, but like a good husband, he went along to please his wife. The child they received came from an orphanage in Central Europe with the impossible name of, well, the first name is not impossible, it's Paul, but the second name is impossible, Piotrostenosilus. And that's my attempt. Unfortunately, yeah, how would you like a name like that? Unfortunately, as Paul learned the language of his new family in Connecticut, he also learned to manipulate the truth. He found it easy to steal and do mischief, and he broke the Adams' heart many times. He did, however, develop a close friendship with their son, their only son, Sammy. One day, Paul, against their specific warning, went swimming in a polluted stream near their home and came back with an infection that brought with it a raging fever. Because of the possibility that it might be contagious, Paul was put in a separate room, and Sammy was told to stay away from Paul. Paul eventually pulled through the crisis, but while he was still sick, one morning, the family found Sammy asleep in bed with Paul, the two of them breathing into each other's faces. And sure enough, Sammy caught the disease. The fever raged through him, and only 4 days later, Sammy died. Dr. Cronin remembered hearing about the tragedy while away on an extended study leave. He wrote his neighbors expressing his sympathy for them, telling them that he, for one, would understand should they feel the need to send Paul back after all the heartache he had caused them. A few months later, upon returning from his leave, Dr. Cronin went next door to visit the Adamses, and was surprised to see the same familiar sight of a man and a boy working side by side in the garden. Only this time, the boy was Paul. "You still have him then?" Cronin inquired. "Yes," Henry Adams replied, "and he's doing much better now." "All I can say to you, Paul," Cronin muttered, "is that you're a pretty lucky boy." "Dr. Cronin," Henry interrupted, "you don't need to bother trying to pronounce his name anymore either. He is now Paul Adams. We have adopted him. He is the son that we lost." That is the kind of love that God has for us. We put his son to death. We were responsible. It was your sins and mine that nailed him to that cross and held him there. A love that Jesus expresses in the face of threatened death. A love that goes about its business in spite of the consequences. Love that adopts us as his children. Love that makes us citizens of heaven. Love that puts us in our places and gives us our inheritances. I want you to know that you can trust a God like that. You can trust a God like that. You can trust a God who only has your welfare as his utmost concern. You can trust a God with your life because he will not fail you. He will not let you down. If he loved you so much that he would send his only son to die on the cross for you, don't you think he's got your best interest in mind? You can trust him with your life, wholly, completely. I would urge you and beg you, if you have not given your entire life and your entire being over to Jesus Christ, do it this morning, because we don't know what a day brings forth. You cannot change God's redeeming plan of salvation. It's fixed. You cannot change the sovereign will of God for your life. It's fixed. And you cannot change God's word and truth. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one new revelation to what God has already given? That truth should moderate our tone respecting opinions which are not decisively settled by revelation. If a man can't increase his stature, how can he increase the volume of God's truth? If a man can't increase his stature, Who gives him authority to speak where God is silent? I believe in doctrine. I believe in conviction. I believe in clearly defined lines that are clearly marked. And at the same time, I question every man's right or power to say positively that such and such a doctrine is true if it does not conform to the Word of God. There's enough revealed in the Bible for our guidance. There is sufficiency of revelation for any want of our life. And I will always keep an open mind toward truth. And yes, I believe that I can learn from the mouth of children. I've done that. I've learned from the mouth of babes. And I've learned from testimonies of God's people. I've learned things from you. But before I believe, preach, or pay for something, I have to believe and know that it came from the inspiration of God's word. I know this is true. I know it's true, and I know it'll never change. And I'm so glad about that. Aren't you glad that God's word doesn't change? Where would we be if God's word changed? If we didn't know that it was right for this time, or if it's going to change in the future, how insecure we would be. But God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. They will never change. For if a man cannot add one cubit to his stature, we need not hesitate to say it's beyond his power to write a supplement to God's word and to say what God has said, what God has left unsaid. There are some things that are fixed. God's plan of salvation is fixed. God's divine sovereignty in a person's life is fixed. And God's word is fixed. You cannot change them. You cannot change them. There are other things I didn't mention this morning. God says to me from time to time, Rick, there are things that you cannot do. That means to me that he has reserved the right. And that removes a great load. He will do it. He saves, he keeps, he redeems, he justifies, he resurrects, he rewards, he judges. It's a grand way to live. And it's a childlike trust. It's satisfaction. It releases me from worry. And it releases me from scheming. It's like God says, I'm here. I will take care of your needs. I become his concern. And I want you to know that this morning. When you give yourself over to the Lord, the concerns that you have become his concerns. He takes those concerns upon himself. He takes those burdens upon himself. You know what your business is? You know what my business is? Really, it comes down to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that we're concerned about. All these other things he'll give to us as well. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Are you here today and you're thinking, you know, I've really never trusted the Lord. I've never thrown myself with reckless abandon at his feet. I've always made sure that I was still the one ultimately in control. But when you come to a place or a time in your life when there is nobody else and you find out that you are totally out of control, you'll wish that you had, at this time in your life, given yourself over to the control of Jesus. Leave the addition in God's hands. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Leave the addition in God's hands. Unless you live like that, you don't live right. There are other things that are variables. We've looked at the things that are fixed. What are some things that are variables? What are some things that you can enhance or things that you can change? Things that don't really have such limitations. First of all, the volume and force of your mind. The volume and force of your mind. There are some things that we know to be capable of expansion. There are some things where additions and subtractions are granted to us. I do have certain delegated powers. I cannot add one stature to my height, but I can increase the volume and force of my mind. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So we can add knowledge in our minds. But then it goes on to say, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. We can add character. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, just because my body stops growing does not mean that my mind and my soul has to stop growing. And aren't you glad that the body does stop growing and the soul and the mind continues to grow? What if it were the reverse? What if the opposite were true? What if the body never stopped growing and the mind and the soul did? That would be freakish, wouldn't it? God knows what's best. God wants us to develop and he wants us to grow. And you can increase the capacity of your mind, of your knowledge, of your understanding. That is not fixed. Number two, you can increase the extent to which you are used of God. There is plenty of room for attainment. God does not fix a certain amount and say you are going to be used in this much only. The potential that you and I have to be used of God is tremendous. It's beyond our ability to even think about. We may not be able to add one stature to our height, but we can add to the extent that we are used of God. I may not be able to add one cubit to my stature, but I may be able to relieve the pain of 1,000 human hearts. I can become big enough to be used under God to repair broken marriages. I can be big enough under God to restore children to parents, to crush the enemy's plan for people's lives, and many other things, dying yet living forever. That's what I am. I read a story by Leslie Flynn who told of a small boy being raised in a frontier city by his grandmother. One night, the house caught on fire. The grandmother tried to rescue the boy upstairs, but she wound up dying in the fire because of the smoke exhaustion. The frontier city didn't have much of a fire department, but it wasn't long before a crowd gathered around the house. But nobody knew what to do, even though they could hear the screams and the yells of the boy up on the second story. Since the bottom floor of the house was on fire, nobody knew how they were going to reach that boy. Suddenly, there was a man who came and he pushed his way through the crowd. And he begins climbing an iron drainage pipe. And he makes it up to the second floor window. The man crawls through the window and he looks for the boy. He finds the boy and he appears at the window and he begins to climb down that hot iron pipe. Well, about this time, all the people, as they see him approach the window and begin to make his descent down the pipe, they begin to cheer and encourage him to go on. And here he has this boy wrapped over his shoulder. And he finally climbs all the way down with the boy's arms hanging around his neck. And they reach the ground in safety. A few weeks later, a public meeting was held to determine who would have custody of the boy. The first one to stand up was a farmer, and the farmer said, "I will be able to provide a good home for the boy. He can learn to work on the farm, and I will teach him a good trade." The second person to speak up was the school teacher. And she said, "I will make sure that the young boy gets a great education. I will do my best to teach him and to pass on to him the knowledge of the things that I have learned." Finally, the banker stands up. And the banker says, "My wife and I will be able to provide a good home and a very quality education for him. We would love to have the boy come and stay with us." The presiding officer looked around and he said, "Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else who would like to say anything? Is there anybody else that would like to speak for having the boy?" From the back row, a man rose up and he walked to the front of the meeting hall and he turned around and he looked at the people and he said, "You know, I might not be able to give the boy some of the things that you're talking about here today, but I tell you what I will do. I will give him all the love that I feel in my heart for him. And with that, he pulled his hands out of his pocket. And there were the scars that he had gotten from climbing that hot pipe and for climbing back down with the boy. The boy recognized him as the man who saved his life, and he came running up to the front, and he wrapped his arms around, and he hugged, and he loved that man. Well, as far as the farmer, the teacher, and the banker, they sat down. They knew the meeting was over. I want you to know today that somebody loved you more than anybody else, and he's got the scars in his hands to prove it. Jesus Christ loved you more than anybody ever could. He loved you that with all that was in him. He gave his life for you. He's got the scars to prove it. And you know what? He is encouraging us to extend our ministry. And the more we become like Christ, the more our ministry will be expanded. The more scars that we have as we go through life and we deal with people and we help them with their hurts and we minister to them, we might be scarred in the process. And in return, we have scars on our own hands and in our own life to show what we have given for others. We will be used of God in great and mighty ways. It has not been determined. It has not been fixed the amount of that a Christian can serve God and become like Jesus. That amount has not yet been determined in your life. There is much room for all of us to attain. There is much room for all of us. We can all become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. The full extent of your potential has not been yet discovered. You don't know what that is yet. I would encourage you today to be used by God and open yourself up to Him and say, Lord, I want to be used by you in greater ways than ever before. And the third thing that has not been fixed, that is still variable, is an ever-deepening acquaintance with God and the will of God. You may not be able to add one cubit to your stature, but you may cultivate an ever-deepening acquaintance with God and His will. You may know God more perfectly than you do now. Yes, there are limitations, but there are exceptions. There are liberties, there are realizations. There are limitations named mainly thou shalt not. There are things that we have to do or have to stay away from. There are things that are forbidden to us. But find the gates that are marked enter here, and when you are invited, walk through those gates. Blessed are those that know the limits. Blessed are those people that know the things that are fixed and their liberties, those things that have variables. They are the ones who will accomplish the most because they are moving in the directions God has appointed for them. God has set boundaries. Respect them. Submit to them. Don't be stubborn and unreasonable. Be pliable. Say, God, you know what's best for me. I will submit to you. And then discover God's will and be fully occupied with it. It will bring grandeur. It will bring meaning to your life. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Some things are fixed. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You can't. It's fixed. It's been determined by the Lord. There's only one way to be redeemed and for the soul to be saved. That's fixed. God's sovereignty in the direction of your life is fixed. God's word and truth are fixed. But there are other things that are still, the jury's still out on. Those things that has variables. The volume of your mind. You can still grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The extent to which you will be used of God is still not determined. And the extent to which you know God is still not determined. could you just say right now where you're at, Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to be used of you more. Lord, would you increase my knowledge of things that I should know about. Would you increase my knowledge? If that's your prayer here today, would you raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these many hands today. We thank you, Lord, for the things that are fixed. We thank you for the boundaries that you have set up. But we also thank you for those things, Lord, where their boundaries are not set. I pray for each one that has raised their hands today and have made these points their prayer. Lord, that you would increase their mind, their capacity to know. Lord, especially to know about things of your word, the principles that we find therein. Lord, increase their knowledge of your word and of your ways. Lord, increase the extent to which they are used. Lord, that we would all become more like Jesus. And to the extent we are more like you, to that extent we will be used by you. And then, Lord, would you increase our knowledge of you, that we might know you more and more. That we would be like the Apostle Paul, to hold that as the first priority in life, that we might know you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that chorus. Let's pour out our life to the Lord today. Trust Him with it. Trust Him with your life. Pour it out to Him today as an offering.
Audrey Meyer wrote this. I have a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame, it's burning. She went on to say, when I think about the shortness of my earthly years, I remember all the wasted days, the wasted tears. I long to preach the word to those who've never heard of the one who can dispel all fears. It's a hymn. The chorus you probably know, to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
God, we just thank you that there are things that we can't change. Your grace and your mercy and your word and your laws, Lord, we marvel at your stability and your anchor that we can draw onto. We just ask, Jesus, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, because that is something that we can change. It's something that we do desire. We just ask, Lord, as we spend time in your word and just meditating upon it, that you would change our hearts to be more like you.
Yes.
Be with us this day and things that we must do. Bring us back safely tonight. Just be with us this week.